made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen. Please greet each other at this time.
We need to thank God for all that we have. Cross, the word, and the blood of the Lamb. Savior who prays, Spirit who stays, sealing us unto redemption day. Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, friend, I believe we need to thank God.
That life should always be fair. We make a mistake when we try to compare. God is not concerned about what we need, but there's more than what's here. There's eternity. Grass is not greener on the other side. Since the Garden of Eden, that's been Satan's lie. We need to confess how much we've been blessed. We need to thank God.
We need to thank God for all that we have. Cross, the word, blood of the Lamb. Savior who prays, Spirit who stays, sealing us unto redemption day. Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, friend, I believe we need to thank God.
The evil swim in an ocean of gain, while the righteous drown in a river of pain. And sometimes we see God doesn't care that wicked get wealthy, wise people despair. But there's an employment all men will keep. Those souls without God won't like what they reap. Consider their end and the wages of sin. We need to thank God.
We need to thank God for all that we have. Cross, the word, the blood of the Lamb. The Savior who prays, Spirit who stays, sealing us unto redemption day. Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, friend, I believe we need to thank God. We need thank God all that we have. Cross, the word, the blood of the Lamb. Savior who prays, Spirit who stays, sealing us unto redemption day. Heavenly Father who cares for our needs, provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, friend, I believe we need to thank God. I don't know about you, friend, I believe we need to thank God. We need to thank God. We need to thank God.
I thought Brother Shelton was going to sing another one up here. Anybody sing like that ought to go ahead, you know. That's good, men. Thank you. Nehemiah chapter 7. I am not going to preach a 10-minute sermon. But I'm not going to preach a long one, okay? because I know it's Mother's Day, and some of you may have something else you want to do, but you chose to do the right thing first. And I want you to know God will honor that in your putting Him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I appreciate that. So I'll do my due diligence to preach and get through by 4:30. All right. Nehemiah chapter 7, find your place. Let's all stand in honor of reading God's word this evening and or this afternoon. Chapter 7. Chapter 7. We'll just read down through the first four verses. All right, found your place. Amen. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. Notice why he did that. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, God help us to do that, to be faithful and fear God. You know, that's a God-honoring characteristic. Verse 3 says, and I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, this afternoon, and I pray, God, that you'd help me to relay the things that are in these verses, God, to our folks that will help us, and Lord, that will strengthen us, God, in our day in which we live, Lord, to be stronger Christians for the cause of Christ. And, Lord, we'll give you the praise for it. Bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I guess if there was a title, I would title it V is for Vigilance here in chapter 7. You know, vigilance, it's about staying on guard. It's about holding the fort. It's about, you know, just keeping, staying faithful to the end or till the Lord comes and gets us. And you know, as sure as the Lord, as we serve the Lord, we need to do our best. We live in a day where people don't want to do their best anymore. I was talking to somebody the other day, and in fact, it was at the car wash. I went through to get my pickup washed, and the guy, man, I'm telling you, they had cars everywhere. And the guy says, yeah, we had four people called in sick. And the first thing that he said after that was, people don't want to work anymore. And I thought, yeah, I know, you know, payday and quitting time. That's about all they look for. But as Christians, listen, we need to show that we're different than everyone else. And when we do what we do for the things of the world, do our best. But when we serve the Lord, we should also do our best. But without God's help and blessing, when we know this, even our best is not going to last. Psalm 127:1, it says, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And so today, we need the same thing that Nehemiah knew that he needed then, which was the need for the people to come back to the Lord, turn away from the things in their lives that were keeping them from serving God, from those secret sins that were grieving Him. And we need to get away from those and begin to be faithful and disciplined. And, you know, we've been studying about that in Sunday school, about how we need to live with a purpose. And listen, everything that we do every day ought to be done with a purpose. And I was using Brother Lonnie as an example. And, you know, he was closest, and so we just used him. But, you know, we need to live with a purpose. If a runner is getting ready to run a 100-yard dash, I was telling our class that, listen, if he's training for the Olympics, everything he does from the moment he gets up till the time he goes to bed at night, he does with the purpose of helping him to be an Olympian, to win the race of an Olympian. If he's running that 100-yard dash, he gets up and he eats with the same purpose that he goes to bed with. He eats because he in the way that will help him to be a better runner. Amen. He exercises that day to help him to be a better runner. Not so that he can win second place either, by the way. I mean, he don't get up every morning and train, you know, 6-8 hours a day, eat things that I probably wouldn't necessarily eat. Amen? And listen, he doesn't train so that he can win a bronze medal. Listen, he's there to win a gold medal. He wants to win the race. And we as Christians are the same way. But there's a lot of Christians today that aren't training. They're not living a disciplined life and living with a purpose. Every moment that we get up in the day, it ought to be for a purpose. When we wake up, we ought to wake up with a purpose in our heart of pleasing Christ. Amen? I mean, in fact, Paul said, we run that we may win Christ. He's our goal. I was telling our Sunday school again this morning that, listen, we don't serve God or run the race of a Christian in order to gain heaven. Heaven has already been assured us through salvation. But we run that we may win Christ. In other words, that we may be like Him. That we may be like Him more at the end of the day than we were at the beginning of the day. Listen, no matter what we face every day, don't let that deter you from being more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We get up in the morning, we ought to read our Bible so that we can win Christ. We need to treat people in such a way that we may win Christ. We need to treat our enemies in such a way that we may win Christ. In other words, we want to do the very best that we can to live for the Lord, that we may be more like Him at the end of the day than we were at the beginning. So we must live with a purpose. And if we're going to have purpose, listen, we're going to have discipline. Man, we don't want to do that anymore. Amen. These guys that are training are disciplined. Listen, why can't we as Christians be disciplined? Listen, God help us. Nehemiah knew that. And he knew that these people needed God. And he knew that they needed to put away those things that hindered them from being what God wanted them to be. And so here in chapter 7, I want to show you four things that we can learn. And the first one I want you to see is that people are important to God. Folks, there are no one is unimportant to God, period. Listen, you and I are important to Him, but just the same, those people that are living under the bridges down here in Dallas that are homeless, they are just as important to God as you and I are. He loves them. Listen, nothing can take place that's made Him love us more than He loves those folks. And so, listen, so we need to be careful and understand that people are important to God. When God wanted to take the next step in His plan of redemption, He called a group of Jews to leave the place of exile and return to the homeland. And by the way, and when God did that, He gave them encouragement from the prophets in order to do that. Listen, we can also get encouragement from the prophets. You know how we do that? Right here. We have the very words of the prophets of Almighty God. Listen, God wrote it down for us. He didn't want them to have something that we can't have. So He wrote it in a book called God's Holy Word, the Bible, amen, and inspired it and preserved it so that we today, when we needed some encouragement, we could have the same encouragement that they received from the very men that wrote this book. Why? Because people are important to God. And the leadership from People Watch who feared Him wanted to honor Him. Listen, we ought to want to honor God. You know why? We want to honor our moms and show them that we love them on a special day. But you know what? We ought to want to honor God even more so than we want to honor one another. Why? Because He's God. Listen, the Lord, watch this, the Lord didn't send a band of angels to do the job, although He could have done that. Listen, God used common people. Brother Will sings a song about common people, ordinary people. He needs to sing that again. Don't y'all think Brother Will needs to sing that song about ordinary people? Okay. I just, you know, I'm praying for Brother Will. Listen, but God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And by the way, these people in this book, listen, are no different than you and I in the sense that we are made out of the same things they were made out of. But the difference is they live for God with a purpose, and they discipline their lives every day to do so. Do you understand that those men that were taken from God, you know, it was Enoch, that God said he was not, for God took him. You know why? He lived every day for the purpose of pleasing God. And he did it, and he did it so well that one day God said, you know what? Just come on home with me today. And he just disappeared from the face of the planet. I can imagine that they sent out people looking for them. Man, I haven't seen Enoch in a week. But I'm fearful that the only ones that were doing that were those people that weren't very close to God. I would imagine that those that knew him realized that, listen, if you knew Enoch like I knew him, listen, that man loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. Everything he did every day was to bring honor and glory to him. And listen, so it doesn't surprise me at all that he's not here. God just probably took him home. Listen, you and I can still do the same thing today. We can bring honor and glory to God simply by how we live. God is still calling people to live their, listen, to leave their own ways and follow him by faith. The church today is living in, you realize how much the church today lives in a day of reproach? If you look back in chapter 2, if you would, in verse 17. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in. Did you catch that? How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Can you imagine the people, the lost and the ungodly that walked by the walls of Jerusalem every day, and they looked at that and they said, man, I'm telling you, that's what living for God will do for you right there. That's what them so-called people that follow, you know, that wanted to follow God and do what Yahweh wants. Listen, I'm telling you, that's where it'll get you. It'll get you wrecked and ruined, and your life will never amount to anything. Listen, that's the kind of reproach they face that day. Well, listen, it's no different than our day. We're living in a day where churches simply just do not want to stand up for what's right. Listen, why do you think people come to this church and they say, I'm telling you, I'm glad I found this church. Listen, you're about the only King James Bible church that I can find in this area. Why? Because churches have compromised. They have given in to the whims of this whole world. And listen, but I believe that God is still looking for a church that'll just stand up and do what's right. Amen. He's still looking for a people today that will leave their way and follow him. There's just like there were ruins all in that day and in the ruins of the walls of Jerusalem. Listen, there are ruined homes. You don't have to go very far till you find homes that are just devastated because of sin. Ruined families, ruined marriages, ruined lives. Listen, you know why? Because we have a tendency to want what we want when we want it. And without God, listen, we are hopeless. By the way, we're not in the church building business, by the way. We're in the people building business. David said in Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, if the foundations of the righteous be destroyed, or if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Well, I'm telling you, the old devil is after the foundation. And it is crumbling as we speak. But thank God there's still some churches just like this one. That are standing up for what's right. And you know, sometimes it gets a little difficult. Sometimes we get a little discouraged. But all we have to do is break open the Holy Word of God and look at the prophets and what they say, and we can be encouraged the same way that the people of the Old Testament were encouraged. And so we need to stand for the foundations of the things of God, the foundation of the righteous and holy living that's in trouble. The church, this church, which was built and founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Satan and his crowd will always seek to tear it down. Satan and his crowd will always seek to destroy the church. And I won't even get off on that. But listen, the enemy does not have the final word. It does not. He doesn't have the final word on your life. He doesn't have the final word on this church. Folks, listen, because God is always victorious. Always. Listen, but the enemy, listen, he's always going to be, till Jesus calls her home or calls us home, listen, we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to stand firm. Jesus said, though I have overcome the world, he also said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And for those who are willing to pay the price, there's always a new beginning and a new first day if we'll just step up for the things of God. But we got to die to self. We got to put God first. We got to seek His will for our lives. And I believe one day soon the Lord's going to come back. But we've got to live a disciplined life. We've got to live a purposeful life. So people are important. You're important to God. Number two, God keeps accounts of His servants. Look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And begin to look in the verse 7. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Sometimes we think we do. We think that the way we live and what we do is not going to have an effect on somebody else, but that's not what God said. "None of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." That's everybody. I didn't think about this when I was studying this message, but we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. It does matter how you live on this earth. It does matter. Because one of these days, everything's going to be burnt up. Listen, the rewards aren't going to be the same. I was telling our class today, I said, you think that runner that dedicated his life for 4 years to do one thing for 9.8 seconds, if he can get it, to run a 100-yard dash, do you think that the guy that lines up down here on the end, he's about 6 foot tall, weighs about 350 pounds, do you think he's going to get the same reward that guy's going to get? No. Why? Because that guy has been disciplined for 4 years. He's trained. He's exercised. He's ate right. And when that shot, when that gun goes off, I'm telling you, 9 seconds, he's going to be down there at the other end. And this guy's probably going to barely be getting started. It's the same way in the Christian life. Do you think that someone that's been faithful all their Christian life, that's served God, that's prayed, that's been a soul winner, that's come to church, come to church and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and listen, and been faithful, never missed. The only reason they missed is because they was in the hospital. Do you think that person is going to receive the same reward that this person over here is going to get? Listen, and they've only come maybe on Christmas and Easter. No, this person over here wasn't disciplined. They didn't run to win the prize. But all of us are going to stand before God. In my brain, I can see a line of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And we all going to take our turn. Man, can you imagine stepping up to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? I can, my dad, he's got big hands and big old fingers. And, and he used to do that to me. Scared me to death, Because, his finger about that big around. I'm telling him, he just said, "Come here, boy." And I knew, I felt like it was the Bema seat. I was fixing to stand in judgment. Well, one day I can just see the Lord go, "Step up." Listen, we shall all stand and give an account of Brother Lonnie. Now, wait a minute. That's not what it says. It's not what it says. It says we shall give an account of who? Of ourselves before God. Listen, for it is written, watch this, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me," he says, "and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. When I was thinking about it, I said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You ever seen somebody be made to bow or do something they don't want to do? Man, it's like watching a train. I'm telling you, one of these days, pride is going to go right out the window. You know, there's a lot of times that pride keeps us from coming and doing what God wants us to do here at this altar. Pride. That's the only thing. Pride. No other reason. But one day, not going to be any pride. The Lord says, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess that I'm Lord. Listen, God keeps accounts of His servants. He knows where you came from. I think, do you ever think back where you came from? Boy, I do. Man, I thank God that I came from there. You know, and I'm not there now. That, you know what I mean? That I'm thank God that I'm not there anymore, that I don't live that way. I'm telling you, I thank God. One, I'm thankful that He didn't kill me. Honest. Listen, He knows where you came from. Listen, He knows what family you belong to. He knows how much we give ourselves and of our money to the cause of Christ. He knows how much we give for Him in service. How little it may be or how much it may be, He knows. He knows our motives behind why we do what we do. He knows. God keeps a record. Nothing slips by Him. Listen, you know, sometimes things slip by us. And we think we're pretty sly and we're pretty slick about stuff. But I'm telling you, nothing gets by God. He keeps a record. Nothing goes unnoticed. So let me encourage you, be purposeful in what you do. When you get up in the, when you leave this place and you go home with a purpose. The purpose of being the kind of Christian that God wants you to be. Be disciplined in what you do for Him. Why? Because God keeps a record. In fact, the Bible says, be unmovable. Listen, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always moving forward. Why? Because God keeps a record. God knows what you're doing. And one day it's all going to be made manifest. It's all going to be made known. So people are important. God keeps account of His people. And the Lord is able to keep His work going. I'm telling you, I'm thankful. I look back at Central Park Baptist Church. Man, I want you to know. And I am thankful that it's not me that keeps this going. It's God that keeps it going. This church has been here 61 years. And listen, and if we will be faithful to Him, He will be faithful to keep His work going forward. And all God's people can say, amen. Listen, there's been times when you know, and if you're like I am, you live from paycheck to paycheck. Amen. I mean, you don't know what's going on. When you lay down at night, you're thinking, Lord, you know, I know there's been times at Central Park I've laid down at night and I'm thinking, God, the electric bill's due this week. I'm going to have to do something. Your building is going to go without electricity. Yep. And man, I've spent a lot of time on my knees before God, asking God to take care of us. And you know what? Here we are. We just bought an RV. Amen? For our intern that's going to be here next week. Two of them. And excited to come. You know why? Because God knows how to take care of His work. Listen, I'm not giving a finance, but we got money in the bank. But listen, it's there for a purpose. It's not there so that we can have money in the bank. Although I like to have money in the bank, amen. But it's there for a purpose, and that purpose is to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're stepping out by faith and we're putting two people on staff. Why? Because that's why we're here. You say, well, man, but preacher, we got to keep something for a rainy day. Why? We got God on our side. He'll take care of us. Now, we're not going to be frivolous. We're going to be good stewards. But, folks, I'm here to let you know that God is able to keep His work going. It's not my business to keep His work going. It's my business to be a good steward because God said that it's required under steward that we be found faithful. And if we'll be faithful in everything, then God will be faithful to us. You see, the first group of Jewish exiles, they left Babylon for Judea to rebuild the walls in 538 B.C. And in spite of a lot of difficulties, they rebuilt the temple and restored worship. 80 years later, Ezra and another group came back. And then 14 years after Ezra came, listen, Nehemiah arrived and rebuilt the walls and the gates. Listen, folks, as a church, we need to be in a constant state of building. Amen. Listen, I learned a lesson from my dad a long time ago when we lived in San Angelo, Texas. I still remember my address. It was Bowie Street Baptist Church, and the church was located at 605 East 38th Street in San Angelo, Texas, just down the street from Lakeview High School at that time. And Dad, listen, the church, we were building all the time. We built a new sanctuary. We built a new Sunday school deal. I mean, we were building. And my dad's testimony is this. He prayed one day after about 10 years. He said, God, he said, I am tired of building. We're building all the time. And if you'll just let me go somewhere where we don't have to build all the time, where we can just kind of rest a little bit and listen, you know what God did? He let him go. And we went to a place in Borger, Texas. We moved at the end of my eighth grade year. The last 2 weeks of my eighth grade year, I spent in Borger, Texas. I still remember the first day I went. I went in, and there was a big, tall teacher in there, and I moved my desk, and man, he said, "You don't like where that was at?" And I went, "Nope." He said, "Well, good. Well, then you can like it right back over there where you didn't like it." And I moved it back. And we went to a church that my dad pastored for 2 years. It was called Fellowship Baptist. And Dad's testimony is that all they wanted him to do was preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if he led anybody to the Lord and they came to church on that next Sunday, then they took care of it. They run them out. Because they were satisfied with what they had. They didn't want to grow. They didn't want to do anything different. They didn't want to have to build. All they wanted to do was have church. But you know what? Dad prayed, "Lord, if you'll let me go somewhere where we don't have to build, I'll be happy." Well, he didn't quite get 2 years of that, and he was fed up. You know what he realized? He told God after almost 2 years, he said, "Lord, I'll go anywhere if you'll just let me build." So we left and we went to Kermit, Texas. Yep. And I'm telling you, we built and we built and we built. And Dad was the happiest he'd ever been in the ministry. You know, folks, as a church, we should ought not ever get to the place where we're not doing something, whether either physically or spiritually. We always need to be in a constant state of moving forward, always. I've had preachers say, listen, and early in my ministry, they say, listen, if you get your building all fixed up, everything's good, tear something up and start over, because it's bad for people to not be busy. And all God's people can say. Yeah. Now we don't have any trouble with that here. There's still plenty of things that we can do. You know, I'm not looking up for the Lord. I'm looking up at that hole up there, you know, that we've been chasing. We're going to work on that. But there's also a lot of green in here that we need to cover up. Yeah. Listen, we should never become stagnant when it comes to growth. Both spiritual growth or numerical growth. You know, God was interested in growth, in numerical growth. You know how I know? He put a book in the Bible called Numbers. I mean, it's in there. I mean, listen, we should never be stagnant. And it was in Nehemiah's day. Listen, just like it was then, so it is here in our day. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes Satan does a job on us. Sometimes he tries to get us to slow down, even stop in our tracks from doing what God wants us to do. Listen, but I want to encourage you, keep doing what God wants you to do. Listen, if you haven't read your Bible today, go home and read it. Do more this afternoon than you did this evening. I put myself on a one-year Bible study or Bible reading deal this year. But listen, and I'm not just reading it to try to get through it. but I want to read it and get something out of it. And, you know, I want to get through in 6 months. So you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to put aside some of the things that I want to do and do something that will help me to grow spiritually. And you're going to have to do the same thing. If we're going to be a church on the move, both spiritually and numerically, then we got to put aside some of those things that we want to do that swallows up our time and start doing those things that God wants us to do, and we can say, amen. But it's going to take some spiritual discipline in order to do it. But we've always got to be on the move. And folks, if we'll just do our part, God will do His part. He's able to accomplish His purpose if we'll just trust Him and do His will. And remember this, that God buries His workers, but He continues His work. And so we must not get discouraged. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm almost done. Look in verse 9. He says, for we are laborers together with Lonnie, with Brother Brandon, with Brother Shelton, with Brother Marco. No, wait a minute. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Listen, this church, this body, we are the building of Almighty God, and we're laboring together with Him. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, we then, as workers together, there it is again, with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. You know, the Lord's saying, hey, you've received the grace of God. Don't make it be in vain by not doing anything. You know, God wants us to be about His business. If we'll be about building people, God will build His church. Listen, God is able to keep His work going. Last thing, real quick, we need to know that we're part of God's family. No matter how much people argue or protested, watch this. If you read chapter 7, there was a lot of people there, a lot of men there that wanted to be priests. But no matter how much they protested and how much they argued, they could not be a priest without the proper genealogy. They could not minister at the altar. And the reality is that, watch, God is not impressed with our first birth. You follow me? Listen, He's more concerned with our second birth than He is the first birth. And so when we are born again, listen, God has gifted everybody in this place. Can I encourage you? Don't try to be something you're not. Amen? God's gifted everybody here. And you can, I'd stand back. Me and my wife talk about all the time about how we have people that volunteer to do things and help around this church. And I just stand back and it just blows my mind. Because, this ain't always been this way. There's been times when, that was our four no more kind of thing that took care of stuff. And now I've got people coming and wanting to do things, and it's like, oh, okay. You want to do that? Okay. We got people want to do everything. And you know what that allows me to do? What God's called me to do. Spend time in the Word and read and study and prepare so that I can try to help you to be a better equipped Christian to carry on the things of God. Listen, it takes that old saying I've been hearing that a lot of, it takes a village. Well, it takes the body of Christ, everybody doing their part to function. And I thank God for our people that do what they do. Listen, you say, well, what can I do, preacher? Well, start off with praying. And asking God, one, to help us to reach people with the gospel, but also to help you find your place. Because there's a place here for everybody. Listen, we need to know that we're a part of God's family. And I'm thankful today that God's family is involved in the things of Almighty God. If you see something that needs to be done, put your hands on it. Get with it. Amen? soul winning on Saturday mornings at 9:30, come and go. We're fixing to have two young men here that's going to come and go. They're excited. We're going to start a Korean ministry. Praise the Lord. Listen, do you know that this is the largest Korean population in the Metroplex right here? People come from all over just to go to this shopping center right here. I mean, you drive by there on a Friday or Saturday evening sometime, it's packed. I mean, Brother Ujin, yesterday he says, we were talking to him about passing out tracts, and he goes, man, you know, we said, that's a good place. And he goes, yeah, he's talking about maybe starting right there in that shopping center, reaching people. Listen, he's excited. Brother Elias is excited. Listen, I'm telling you, you know what? I'm excited. Brother Marco's excited. I mean, we're ready to go. But listen, there's people in here that are excited, but let's don't rain on their parade. If you know somebody in the church that's just kind of, it's all right, you'll get over it. You just get away, get away. Get away. Walk away. Listen, because it might get on you. I want to hang around positive people. That's why I want to hang around these other preachers that I know that will help me, because iron sharpeneth iron. And I want to be around somebody that'll help me to be a better pastor. Not for me, but for you. And folks, listen, I know that God wants to use, and I keep saying that, but I don't want it to sound like a broken record, or something with a record with a scratch on it that keeps going all back and forth over and over. Listen, but I'm here to tell you, God wants to do something here. He wants to do something with you. But you're going to have to step up and say, okay, Lord, here am I. And then we'll start praying together and asking,